Could you imagine a world without email? Our next guest can. Computer science professor Cal Newport has written a book about how email not only destroys our productivity at work, but also makes us miserable. Cal, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And the book is called A World Without Email. So make your case. Why would that be a better world to live in and to work in?
I don't actually mean that email as a tool should go away. I don't want to go back to using fax machines again or voicemail. But the thing that I do think we need to get past is the style of work that was enabled once email arrived. It's a style of work I call the hyperactive hive mind. And it's when we do most of our collaboration with back and forth unscheduled ad hoc digital messaging. It's that style of work that email made possible. That's the problem. That's what we need to do away with.
Let's talk more about that phrase that you use throughout the book, the hyperactive hive mind. That does not sound good. What does it mean to you?
It's where we basically say we're all connected with these digital channels. It could be Slack. It could be Microsoft Teams. It could be email. And it says the way we work things out, the way we coordinate or collaborate is just ad hoc unscheduled messages. I just grab you over email. You reply right away. Everyone is connected like we're one big hive mind, and task and question information is freely bouncing around between all of these different nodes.
What's the problem with working that way?
Well, it's a good question because there are some obvious advantages, which we should acknowledge. It's easy. It's flexible. The issue is, however, it doesn't scale. So once you have many people that you're trying to collaborate with on many different initiatives, the number of messages you now have to keep up with means that you have to constantly check inboxes or constantly check chat channels. And it's these constant checks that's killing us right now. Our mind cannot do these rapid context shifts from one thing to an inbox, back to the one thing, back to an inbox. These constant context shifts are really reducing our ability to think clearly. They are giving us mental fatigue, and it's making us unhappy.
Well, now, wait a minute. A lot of people would raise their hand and say, not me. Like, I'm really good at multitasking. I can handle this.
Well, I would check to make sure they were not a cyborg first. And if they're not a cyborg, if there's not a computer chip in their head, they aren't good at it. And I spent a lot of time with this book with both psychologists and neuroscientists who both study this phenomenon of network switching. Humans can't network switch quickly. It takes time for us to take this wetware and move it from one point of focus to another. It's a whole biochemical cascade that involves networks being amplified and networks being inhibited. It can take 5, 10, 15 minutes. We can't check an inbox once every 6 minutes, like I found in one study I reported on, and expect to still be able to think clearly.
Really? That's how often some people are checking their emails? I guess that may be how often I check my emails. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a shocking number. This was a data set that came from a software company called Rescue Time, and it's based off of tens of thousands of different clients of theirs. And it was once every 6 minutes, unless your organization uses Slack, and then it's even quicker.
Wow. So that just destroys productivity, you're saying, right?
Yeah, we can't think clearly. It also exhausts us. It's why by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we just give up on work and just fall back into our inbox in a sort of a stupor. It's because it exhausts our brain, all the switching. And it makes us anxious. So it's like a double whammy of terribleness.
Okay, let's talk about why all those messages piling up in our inbox makes us anxious. Is there science behind that?
One of my arguments in the book, and there's some data to back this up, is that when we have an inbox that we know is filling with messages from people we know, and we're not answering them in the moment, that sets off alarm bells in our brain. Our brain thinks, look, there's tribe members who need me and I'm ignoring them. That is not a good thing to do. So our Paleolithic social brains don't do well with these digital modern ways of communicating.
Cal, do you remember in the 1990s when we loved email? It was like the most exciting thing ever happened. We just loved it. How did it go from an innovation to something that we dread, but that we can't move away from?
It was an interesting history to unearth. I mean, so we basically get from about 1990 to 1995, the rapid spread of email. In 1998, we get the Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan movie, You Got Mail, where people are excited and high-fiving because an email arrived in their email box. By the time we get to 2004, you can begin to find productivity authors talking about email overload as if, of course, everyone knows what this is. So basically, it spread in 5 years. We had 5 good years. And then overload became an issue.
Well, and now it's way beyond email. And you've mentioned this a little bit. Some offices, my own included, are moving into platforms like Slack that require an even faster response time than email. What do you think about something like Slack? Is it the kind of technology that's actually making this whole problem even worse?
Yeah, Slack is interesting. So earlier this fall, when Salesforce announced they were going to acquire Slack for a very large amount of money, I wrote an article for The New Yorker. They asked me to write about what are my thoughts on Slack. And what I titled that article was Slack built the right tool for the wrong way to work. Basically, Slack said, oh, if the hyperactive hive mind is how we're collaborating, we'll build a better tool for the hyperactive hive mind. It'll be an easier way to do this ongoing ad hoc back and forth communication. We'll get rid of some of the rough edges of email. So we both love and hate Slack. We love it because if we're using the hive mind, it's a slicker tool, but we also hate the hive mind.
So for better or worse, this is just the way things are for many of us when we go to work. And arguably, it's going to take some other form of revolutionary technology to get us off this dependency on email, right? So how do you suggest we try to leave this hive mind behind?
Right. Well, I don't think we need revolutionary technology. We need revolutionary thinking about how we organize knowledge work. What if, for example, we look to software development, where they don't use the hyperactive hive mind? They use agile methodologies, where all of the tasks are up on a shared transparent task boards, and they have highly structured daily status meetings to see who's working on what. They carefully titrate how much work any one person is doing at the same time. We've seen this type of innovative thinking in very narrow examples. We need to spread that to many more sectors.
Okay, the problem is what you just said and described, I don't understand. And so I wonder what the challenges would be to changing the way we work and what kind of pushback you might get from workers or managers or people who run these companies.
Well, the interesting thing about this particular issue, which makes it different than other types of problems we've had in the world of work before, is that actually management and employees are on the same page here, that we need to do something better. So what's really holding us back? We have an ethic of autonomy in knowledge work. We have to pull back this autonomy trap and said, actually, wait. This is not all just up to the individuals to figure out. Let's think what's best for our company or our team or our organization. And once we start thinking that way, there's a lot of innovation that will follow. This can make everybody happy.
Okay, so your book has some case studies that highlight what some CEOs or companies are doing to make a better choice for them. Tell me about one of those.
Well, for example, I talk about a marketing firm, a small marketing firm, and they got completely burnt out on the hive mind. And they switched all of their client information from emails to Trello boards. Every client had its own Trello board. All of the information related to that client was on the board. Everything that needed to be done for that client was on the board in a column that said what its status is. You could see who was working on it, all the files, the transcripts from calls, research, all of it was in one place, not in an inbox spread among emails. And then they updated these boards almost like software developers with these structured status meetings. Okay, everyone get together real quick. What's going on with this client? Who's working on what? What do you need to get that thing done? We're all on the same page. Great. We'll talk in 2 days.
I just opened up my inbox for work. Venture a guess how many unread messages I have?
I don't know if I want to. They'll say my neighbor sent me a picture yesterday. He had 666 unread messages. And he said, I think the universe is trying to tell me something about email here.
Oh, well, I've got that beat. 36,712 unread emails. I can't even imagine what I've missed in that pile. But I think I hear your point. Something is wrong. Something is broken. And a lot of people went through a lot of time to send those 36,000 emails that never crossed my eyes. Cal, the pandemic has changed the way that we work. It's true. And in some cases, people are going to continue working remotely even after this crisis is over. What about that? Does that make your vision for a world without email even tougher to pull off?
I think it makes it more urgent. I think what we experienced during this period of forced remote work is that the hyperactive hive mind became more hyperactive, more emails, more impromptu Zoom, more Slack messages, much less time to actually work. I hear from a lot of people right now who say, you know what? I now do zero work during my workday. Every minute is Zoom or email. This is an absurd state of affairs. I can't believe that we're willing to say, I guess that's just the best way to work. So I think the pandemic has really emphasized our need for something much more structured than the hive mind. We need a much more structured way to work because when you're just completely ad hoc and informal, complete remote work does not work well at all.
Hmm. Cal Newport, the new book is called A World Without Email, Reimagining Work in an Age of Communication Overload. Amen to that. Cal, thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me.
And am I the only one out there with 36,000 unread emails? I bet some of you have actually got me beat. Let us know how buried you are by technology. We're at letters@hereandnow.org.